What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, June 28th, 2019. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the best hair in the business, Fran Mirabelle III.
Good morning, good sir. How are you doing?
I'm good.
I feel good for Friday.
You feel good for a Friday?
For once.
But you went to bed last night, you said.
Yeah, I got 7 hours of sleep,
Hoo-wee,
which
Fran.
Is a lot for me on a Friday.
Yeah, no, for sure, for sure. You got Fran Fridays coming up today, twitch.tv/FM3_.
Thank you very much. I'm thinking maybe, let me get your advice.
Sure.
So Andy mentioned on Gamescast yesterday, he really loves Outer Wilds, right?
We all love Outer Worlds. It's just not out yet.
Yes,
it's very confusing.
I would like to play it. So for Outer Wilds, I was like, maybe I should play that. But then Sinking City, I was like, maybe I should check that out.
You want to get scared.
Maybe.
You want to get tucked in under the covers in your stream, get just
spooked
out.
People like scary. So I didn't know it is scary. Right?
It's like a psychological, you know, one of those weird ones. If you watched the showcase and supported us, you would have seen it and it wouldn't have been a big deal.
Okay, that. Or Mario Maker. What would you do?
I mean, there's only one answer, and you didn't even bring it up, and it's Moonlighter, all right?
It's funny. All you got
hail,
me thinking about Moonlighter, honestly.
Moonlighter.
Maybe I should do Moonlighter.
I don't know.
I
can get a code.
But, yeah, I'll probably do something like that.
Wait, that's right. You wanted one, and Joey wanted one, right? Yeah.
Probably. I mean, I didn't say I wanted one until right this second.
So. Really? Then who else said they wanted one yesterday? Somebody said
that. You know, that broke streamer life.
Andy?
Maybe. You got to take the free games and
Well, again, it is available on Xbox Game Pass. You could just go in there right now.
I don't have Games Pass, though.
Yeah.
So it might be time.
It's singular. Andrea yelled at me for a long time about it.
She yells at us about everything.
She does. You know what I mean?
But Andrea.
We have to be professional. Get the names of programs right. Get the fuck out of here, Andrea.
Exactly.
What do you think this show is?
Make up whatever name.
And speaking of what the show is, before we go any further, what we need to talk about is your hair. It is the best hair in the business. But yesterday, I was so caught up. I was doing Gamescast. Tim couldn't do it. There's all these things happening. I thought your head was shaved on the side, but then I wasn't 100% like, oh, it's shaved on that side too. I've only seen you from this profile.
It's really like trimmed
buzzed,
down.
Buzzed.
And yeah, by the way.
Was this the E3 haircut or was this post E3?
I just got it. So part of it is I'm going to Guardian Con next week. I needed a haircut regardless, but I said go even tighter because it's going to grow out by next week. So by then, it's going to just be right maybe where I want it.
Okay.
So it's pretty tight though, right?
It's tight. Yeah.
I also was complimenting you on your haircut.
Thank you very much, Greg. He's
got the detail. So I was like, I don't know who you're seeing, but they're doing a good job.
Yeah, the local barber. It's the barber I always want to use in the neighborhood, but the problem is that they just run hours that aren't congruent with me.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, we're closed Mondays and Tuesdays, and then we're not there on this thing. And
it's too bad you can't find a place around here or something, but there's not that much.
If only, there's literally a barbershop underneath us.
Yeah.
But every time I go down there, they're also closed.
Oh,
which isn't a good sign for that barbershop.
No, that's not a good sign.
I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not the kind of appointment person that's going to make an appointment for a haircut. I'm going to go whenever I feel like it because I hate getting my hair cut, but I digress. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Today we're talking about Tetris Battle Royale coming to your phone. Stadia is making some moves and so much more, including a Division deep dive from Fran and I at the end of the show. Required reading. You don't have to listen if you don't want to because that's kind of stuff we cover on Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday. If you didn't know, we go through the nerdy news you need to know about in the world of video games. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go there and leave your questions, comments, concerns, bad. Oh, PSN names, they're gone. You can change them now. You know what I mean? Broke my heart.
Yeah.
Ruined the whole rigmarole. I had a rigmarole for years about it, and it's just gone. Shuhei doesn't even care. This is the long con from Shuhei. Is that he held us over our heads forever that he wouldn't let us change the PSN names, lured me into a false sense of security about it. Now he's ruined my whole thing.
I still think there's plenty of bad PSN names that are just not changing.
Well, sure,
maybe we need to flip the script.
Then we got people out there.
Like
it's like
send
a hit squad.
Bad names you've seen.
Yeah, then people are making them up. You can't verify.
Yeah, you can't trust this
You can't trust
crew.
The internet. You can't trust the internet.
Nanobiologists making trouble.
You kidding me, right? if you like that and you're doing all that stuff, you can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcasts. Services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Let's start. It's not a news story, but I am no longer banned by E3. The national nightmare is over. We were able to settle it in one day's time. I was falsely accused of a crime I did not commit. However, they did have evidence to the contrary, which then no one could explain it. And so I waited. Imran from Game Informer was like, I need more closure than this.
Yeah, what's the short recap for those who didn't
Short recap is yesterday I came to work and, let me go further back. T- 2007, I get hired by IGN. I start going to E3. No.
Short recap.
Yesterday, I got an email saying, hey, you're banned from E3 because we confiscated your badge. We confiscated your badge from somebody who was not you.
Yeah.
To which I was like, I had my badge in video evidence when I closed out your show. Right. When did you? If the show ends, how did you confiscate the badge?
Did you throw it away after, though? Like,
yes, but that's still, everybody asked that. Tossed it. Everybody asked that. That doesn't count, though.
No, it doesn't count because the show is over.
E3 ended it Thursday night.
Nobody could use it.
Friday, I threw it away at my hotel. How the hell would that? Wow. Who went back in time with my badge?
Exactly.
So I was like, that doesn't make any sense.
Impossible.
This happened during Games Daily when I was ranting and raving. They emailed me. I gave them back the information. They had the scan of a badge that, for all intents and purposes, looks exactly like my badge. And I'm like, cool. I had my badge at the end of the show, and I threw it away on Friday when the show was already over. So you must have reissued this to someone else. You must have issued one beforehand. Somebody came in and said they were Greg Miller and got a badge. And it's like, it's not, it is my confirmation number. I assume, not having my badge anymore, I assume it is an exact replica of my badge, which to the only thing can be that ESA gave away my gave a second badge.
Another one up. Which
is possible. And so the ESA's email was like, listen, we know who you, we know Greg. We like your work. Let's just move forward. I'm like, cool, let's move but forward. Like, but someone got my badge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Someone was able to walk in and talk and grease the wheels and say, hey, I'm Greg Miller.
See,
and
I would have been in your camp where I'm like, I appreciate that we're just going to move forward, but you might still think I gave my badge away, and I didn't.
Yeah, well, I've proven that's not true.
Yeah.
Now it's to the fact of we have to run a guess who. So ladies and gentlemen, what I need you all to do is tweet at Barrett. Barrett, you're on this job now. You're going to be my sleuth, all right? Tweet at Barrett any... This is going to be tough. Start racking your brain. Tweet at Barrett any overweight, white guy, beard, black glasses, brown hair in the video game industry.
That's like 50% exactly. I get the joke.
That's going to be the worst Guess Who game of all time. It was like, shit, they're all the same
person. I hope that people send in all the also famous people in the industry that look similar to, like, Tim Schafer even. Like, just, they're like, I think it was Tim, maybe?
Here, and this is the thing. This is what's where it gets really, really interesting. Is that someone out there has the answer to what happened. Let me know.
And they probably watched this shit.
Just
on,
let me know.
Fess up.
Because I was thinking about it. Maybe it was a similar thing of somebody else is named Greg and they misprinted and they gave him a Greg. But then even then, I feel like you would have been
Mueller.
You would have been like, oh, well, this isn't me, but whatever. Because like, remember that time, GDC 2016, where Jeff Keighley checked in and they had him as Jeff Keighley, kind of funny. Like, and he tweeted about it. It was a funny joke. But like, maybe it was one of those. But then I think you would have, I'm not Greg Miller. I'm somebody else. Oh, I want to be. But and even if it got confiscated at the door and you never even noticed for some reason, which would have been weird. But who went up there and is like, here's how I did. Just let me know. I'm not worried about getting single white female out here. That was a movie, by the way, if you don't remember single white female. Identity theft. Or the net, even. You know what I mean? I just want to know. Somebody out there knows. This was a coordinated thing. They didn't go like, pick a name out of a hat, Greg Miller. Somebody was like, I look like Greg Miller, or I think I can be loud enough to sell myself to this random person as Greg Miller. I can show them the Twitter. Like, what, you know?
That's, how'd they do it?
Exactly.
Who done it? How'd they do it?
I want to know how they did it.
All right, I like
I'm
this.
Not mad. There's no legal recourse I can take. You know what I mean? Also, for your housekeeping, remember that Kinda Funny Prom's one-year anniversary is Sunday. Also, Tim's birthday. You can watch the video Tim has been working on all week long, youtube.com/kindafunny. You can catch up on Kinda Funny Prom. You can see Smash Brothers or Smash Mouth Shock the World. Greg married two Kinda Funny best friends while Fran sings and plays the guitar.
I didn't sing, but I played,
And then Gia and Tim Crowdsurf. Subscribe now, youtube.com/kindafunny. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Daniel Massey, Blackjack, Colton Yoder, and Mohammed. Today we're brought to you by Third Love and Experian, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Three items on the Roper Report.
A baker's dozen.
We're easing you into Friday like a feather just slowly falling under the ground.
I like that.
The weekend.
I like that.
Number one. Tetris 99 is pretty much coming to your phone, but it's not Tetris 99, and it's actually kind of sad. I'll read you the press release I got, which I scoffed at, and then the quote from the CEO, where I was like, oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Network. And this is network, but the
with
E
a three.
Is a three.
It's elite speak.
All right, guys. Premier Games Media Technology Company has partnered with the Tetris Company Incorporated to exclusively develop and publish new Tetris games built from the ground up for mobile devices worldwide, excluding China. The multi-year agreement will leverage network's expertise in game design and publishing to create fresh Tetris experiences that harness the global popularity of the iconic franchise. Tetris Royale, Network's debut title in the partnership, is a fast and fun Tetris game with large-scale friendly competition at its core. The foundation of Tetris Royale is built on the core gameplay experience of Tetris, rotating and moving a procession of Tetrominos down the matrix to clear lines by completing horizontal rows. Tetris Royale will feature a variety of game modes from the hallmark 100-player Tetris Royale mode to massive daily competitions of thousands of players to solo marathon mode where players can hone their Tetris skills. The Tetris Royale mode is a 100-player competitive mode where players will battle their way to the top of the leaderboards every season. Players will have the ability to complete daily challenges while competing in the Tetris Royale mode to earn rewards, including customization options, as well as power-ups and boosters that can be used in battle. Tetris Royale is currently in development for iPhone and iPad and Android devices and will be available in select territories for beta testing in 2019. So I get that press release, Fran, and I don't roll my eyes.
No.
But I am like, all right, Tetris 99. All right, you're doing Tetris 99.
Yeah, it looks like you're like, oh, you must like Tetris 99. Yeah, exactly. Now you're doing Tetris 100 or whatever.
Then I click over, I'm doing the Roper Report, I'm gathering more news. Go to gamesindustry.biz, and they had an interview up there about this with the network founder talking to gamesindustry.biz. He said, and it's a weird one, and I'm not one to be this. Clearly, I like, as somebody who, you know, used to write and be a journalist and like know how you're supposed to set everything up.
Yeah.
This is an interesting one where clearly they edited at some point and they deleted the CEO's first name from first reference. Because, you know, if I was going to talk about...
You mean in the quote?
If I was going to put Fran Mirabella in a story, I interviewed Fran Mirabella, right? It would be Fran Mirabella, and the rest of the way I would say Mirabella said, Mirabella said, Mirabella said.
Right. This
they
just
edited
said,
somewhere
yo.
Where they clearly cut it out. So it just says network network founder and CEO.
Oh, yeah, that's...
And then it was just like name.
That's
so
a bit of a
just,
trigger.
He's just young the rest of the way. So Young, agree. Who's the founder of it, says this. Much to our chagrin, Nintendo launched Tetris 99 on the Switch before we had the opportunity to announce our product, Young says. There are obvious similarities there. Beyond the fact that the mobile market is over 30 times the size of the Nintendo Switch market, we think Nintendo's product helps validate the type of thing we're trying to build with Tetris Royale. Of course, obviously anything under the Tetris brand is Tetris, so it's getting knocked off of Tetris to Tetris to Tetris. Personally, as a Tetris fanboy, somebody who loves Tetris.
Yeah.
Loved Tetris so much he played a lot of that Sparcade back in the day. You remember that on the phone?
Sparcade?
Yeah. It was a really cool idea where you could put money into it and gamble and bet on yourselves and make more money and stuff. It was cool. Mobile game.
Yeah.
I'm happy there's more Tetris.
Yes.
So that's the long and short of this is that basically now, you know, it's better than Tetris 99 because it's 100 people.
Yeah. One, his name's Neil Young, apparently. Did you know that?
No.
His name is Neil Young.
Oh, man. Take a look at my
life. Which is basically how he's sounding right now.
Yeah.
And two, I was a little like, I liked the honesty though. It was like, I probably wouldn't have phrased it that way. Like, oh, you know, much to our misfortune, Nintendo already did this and we're doing. But I do like the honesty. He's just really trying to say, look, we were developing this already and it's a bummer. Already came out, but we're doing it as well. You guys are going to like it. You know, that seems to be what the message is here. I don't know why it matters that the market size is 30 times the size of Switch, other than the player base.
I think it's 100% for jerks like me, who are like, way to copy Tetris 99. And he'd be like, motherfucker, there's millions and millions of people who will never, don't even know what Tetris 99 is.
It's true.
Which is 100% correct.
It's a good point in bringing it to that market.
Yeah, exactly.
Of course it makes a ton of sense.
Well, it's the same thing even when we play Tetris. Tetris 99 should be everywhere as well.
Yeah,
it should be on every platform. It's too good not to.
So now we'll see how it turns out. You will basically have that. What I actually like, though, beyond this is that, and I don't know if there's already Tetris games on the phone that address this, but like, right, it said leaderboards and competitive modes. Did it say leaderboards? Or did I make that part up?
They got the challenges that I think.
They said there will be competitive.
Yeah, leaderboards. There's leaderboards.
Yeah, I think that's awesome for Tetris players, man. So I don't know what else does that well out there, but that is an open market. I mean, you can imagine like trying to go for top even 1,000, you know, in the world and stuff like that. And when you're a hardcore Tetris player, like just getting your name on the board, like that's half the joy
of playing it. You want to get in there. Exactly. How good you are at Tetris.
I have not really. I hopped into Tetris 99 for like a hot second, and I was like, I just don't have time. With games like this, I feel like I need to practice.
Yep.
And I'm like, I can't do that right now.
Sure. You're
Division
on the
grind.
You're on the grind.
Destiny grind. Mm-hmm. Like, we were talking about, what am I going to play today? I was like, I want to play other stuff. I didn't even finish Days Gone. I didn't finish like Sekiro. But when I go back to that stuff, there's stuff waiting for me in these other games.
You're always moving forward.
It gives me anxiety and it's sweating on stream. You know the feeling, Greg. There's too much to play.
You only sweat. Yeah, I'm 100% aware of that. Yeah, no, trying to figure out what you want. We're going to get into it here as we go through the show.
Yes.
Because there's a few things coming up where I'm like, oof, that sounds interesting. Oof.
Exactly. Oof. Manage it. Woo. Woo.
Number two, let's get two Stadia stories out. Number two and three are both Stadia related. The first one says, what happens if Stadia removes a game you own? This is Josh West over at Games Radar. What will happen to the games that you purchase through Google Stadia if a developer or publisher decides to pull support from the platform? That just one of the many questions that we sought to get answered today when we sat down with Google's vice president and head of Stadia, Phil Harrison. Quote, yes, you will still be able to access the game, Harrison tells me, reaffirming this point as I ask about playing that said hypothetical game without restriction and still being able to access my saved data. Quote, yes. It wouldn't then, I continued, be another PT situation, wherein the game could disappear off the face of the planet. Quote, now, there may be, as we've seen in the past, there may be times where a developer or publisher no longer has the rights to sell to new players. That would mean that the game will not be available to new players, but it will continue to be available to existing players, end quote.
Mm-hmm.
As usual, believe it when I see it. I'm not saying Phil's lying. I just think there's so many little stupid things that happen
gotcha
to change
situations.
The bot. But it's like, yeah, like look at, you know, even with Telltale right now and how, yeah. Oh shit, you didn't, people who bought it on 360 didn't download it. So we got to put it back up and sell it for $100 and then take it away. And it's a different thing here, of course, because Stadia is always online.
Entirely
you only stream the game. So how do you get up there? How do you get it? You're going to have to take it off the storefront, leave it in the background, have it be there for people to get, which is the opposite, again, of a PT, which is totally, right now I have it on every one of my PS4s. If I ever deleted it from those PS4s, I can't re-download it.
Yeah, it seems to me that the main difference is, like, Stadia has downloaded it for you, and it's there, and they're not going to delete it. In other words, just because it comes off the store, they're not going to delete it from their server.
Yeah.
And presumably that's built into the contracts.
Yep, exactly.
Presumably.
And that's the other big one, right? You figure that their contracts have to look a lot different than what PlayStation and Xbox does, because they're very specifically saying, cool, whatever you do and whatever we put on our server is then available to whoever that theoretically that server and they have that access is their server now and their PC in the cloud.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure I'm missing something when I think about this, but I don't understand what the big deal is other than the contracts. When you get into
Which part, in other words,
If I bought the game and you take it off the store, who cares if I can still download it? So like it becomes like, meaning it becomes these major issues is like, well, meaning if, in other words, using Steam as the example, let's say they have to pull it from Steam, why isn't there just a simple solution like, no, of course you can still download it, you just can't buy it.
Sure.
That's it. Yeah. Instead of buy, it's like, you must already own this, but instead it becomes, no, we've stripped it entirely, it's out of your library now. Like, why is it coming out of my library is what I'm saying. Why is it such a big deal for the publishers and developers, do you think? Well, they lose the rights and they resell it, but like, I already bought it. So, am I making sense?
Yeah, I do. I think PT is the example to stick with. PT is the example I'd want to stick with, just because PT, I think, is the one that I'm the... When we get into Steam games being delisted and stuff, you know that that's not my world.
Sure. PT is perfect, yeah.
PT is the example, right, of like, it's just gone and you can never get it again. If you don't, if anything happens to your PS4.
That was a weird one, though, because it wasn't a game for sale. I didn't buy it. It was a demo. But even then... Well, actually,
so
see,
you want,
Greg,
you want to use Minecraft as an example, or I mean, Minecraft story
something
mode,
you can
Telltale.
Buy. In other words, I actually understand why maybe Konami, if they're going to go out and develop that franchise, which they own, obviously at this point, as far as I know, they might be sort of against having that out there for whatever reason. I don't think that's a good idea, but like, I would understand it more than if I had bought it and they're like, "Sorry, we sold the rights actually to Kojima Studios now, and we got to take it off the store." That's the situation I think sucks. But yeah, for something else, like what did you just bring up?
The Telltale games or whatever, right?
They're the Telltale games.
They're getting taken away. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, but again, that's a crazy example of a studio like imploding, right, and going away.
Sure. But where I was going is, what is the ultimate reason it becomes an issue that it can't sit in your library for redownload? And I think it's just the contracts is all.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's what it is.
Which goes to show you like, the black and white legal of like all the issues it causes in gaming and beyond. It just sucks. But like, somebody's going to sue you eventually, and like that's why ultimately it has to. There's like, I'm sorry, I would like to leave it there, but somebody might sue me. So what am I going to do?
Yeah.
So fix the contracts.
And that's what Phil's doing. He's built a better mousetrap, is what he's saying. You're a lawyer now?
I said I'm no lawyer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good lawyer. I got myself out of E3 jail.
Like, yeah, you fixed everything yesterday.
Another Stadia story for you is number three from Matt Perslow at IGN. What's Stadia's vision for the future of games? Let me try again. What's Stadia's vision for games? Talking to IGN and other journalists at a roundtable event at Google's UK offices, Harrison said, quote, an innovation that we want to bring to bear is games that are as fun to watch as they are to play. That may be even introduce a new way of experiencing games, he elaborated. Most of the games we play today are measured in button presses per second. Watching a YouTube video is button presses per minute. And maybe there's something in between, which is allowing the less engaged gamer to have just as much fun being part of a game. But maybe they have a slightly different viewpoint of the world. Maybe they have a more strategic view. Google has previously detailed how Stadia bridges the gap between playing and watching video games, and Harrison used Ghost Recon Breakpoint as an example to reiterate the company's plans. Quote, if you look at Ghost Recon Breakpoint, it has this amazing Stream Connect feature where you can see what your friends are seeing in the game superimposed inside the game, he explained. Those are first examples of innovations that will, over time, mean that streaming games will have these advantages that players will gravitate towards, end quote.
Yeah, I like this story because it is, you know, it is tackling this new world of, like, there are a lot of people who watch games while they're playing or even just watch them. And some extensions and stuff on Twitch are a way that people are participating
sure.
in the game. Like in Borderlands, for example, Borderlands 3,
yep.
right, developing this extension, which we promoted many times in our pre and post show, that you can plug in and like actually get the loot that you're, like, if
you're
I'm
watching
playing,
someone play and you hit a specific chest, you get a specific thing, then I get it in my inventory
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, if you're right there playing along with them. And that's like one of the many examples, but I do think it's very interesting for Stadia in particular and cloud-based gaming. We'll see what Xbox does, although it might mean you have to watch on Mixer to do it. And I think that's where YouTube really has a strong advantage here because it's such a huge platform. But if I'm watching you play, what's like maybe a big game that you're excited
Division.
About?
Division. Oh, upcoming?
Sure.
I mean, yeah upcoming. What? Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, Borderlands 3. Next year, what? You got The Last of Us 2.
Yeah, Death let's go Stranding. With something in Last of Us 2.
Okay.
I'm making this. I didn't plan this, but like you're playing Last of Us 2 online, and I think the idea is that in a more than just like, oh, I'm watching you play, and now I get this new skin for my gun or my
sure.
bag in my game. I think the idea is like maybe to take it to a place where you're playing. Say they have a mode that is more horde mode or whatever, and
yeah.
to do something to participate, like you open the gate, right? I think that is where. And tell me if you see it otherwise. I think that's where he's saying this could go in the future is you participate in the game, like crowd vote, hey, we're going to open gate C, and that's going to, you're going to watch me be like, crap, that's that type of enemy, and watch me freak out. I believe that's the potential, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you, this is one you would add it in here, right? And you put it on there.
Yeah.
And it's as usual with everything Stadia related, right? I'm saying, show it to me when you get there. Because I feel like right now it just sounds like such marketing buzzwords.
Oh, yeah.
Anything can happen and you can do whatever. And it's, have you seen the stuff he's talking about with Ghost Recon?
You know what's funny? I just was like, I missed that at E3 and I was like, what is that? And I tried to Google it real time here because I just noticed
that. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if you have a great link to it and stuff. I have not seen it. If you look at Ghost Recon Breakpoint, it has this amazing Stream Connect feature where you can see what your friends are seeing in the game superimposed inside the game. Those are the first examples of innovations that will, over time, mean that streaming games will have these advantages to players.
I found a quote.
Now, I'm assuming it means I'm playing and I have like picture in picture what Fran's seeing in his
I
game.
I found a quote from the user experience director. This is on inverse.com, though, and I'm not familiar with this site, so I assume it's real. Seems like a nice site. The quote is, at any moment, players can choose to display what their teammates are seeing on the screen. You can choose to display what their teammates are seeing on the screen. Okay. That's super useful.
I assume if it was like you're like when we play Division, if you're like, hey guys, I need help over here. I'm like, where are you? You go, boop, I'm here. And like you throw it up there and I see you playing.
Yeah. So it looks like this is, I can, if we're playing, yeah, let's use Division as an example. If you and I are playing together
yeah.
and you're watching a stream on twitch.tv/fm3_ and we're playing together and you're like, no, I don't want to watch Fran. I'm here for Greg. It sounds like, oh, I'm going to look at Greg's gameplay. Is that what it's saying?
I was reading it at. Give me the quote again.
So, well, let me finish it too. It says, sure. At any moment, players can choose. I assume it was because this is referring to Stream Connect. So, anyway, players can choose what their teammates are seeing on the screen.
See, that's teammates. So, that's not me watching the game in terms of being a viewer on Twitch. That's me and you playing the game and you being like, holy shit, there's a loot drop over here. Look, and you go boop and it pops up here and I see your perspective of you. It's similar to how when we play Division and even when you're playing with off mic and you want somebody to look at something, you shoot the wall. You shoot whatever you want them to see.
Right.
This would be like forcing the feed of boop What do you got
for me? I feel like they showed that off when they showed off the new Ghost Recon game or whatever. You saw the three other when there was like that weird squad kind of gameplay, you saw the three other people in your squad actually like playing, and they're showing you what their perspective was.
Yeah, that's exactly what he saw. Using Breakpoint as an example.
Yeah, sorry, you are right that it is saying because of the Stream Connect feature, me as a player, it will allow me to connect to your screen effectively.
Right.
That's the idea. But, I mean, if I'm streaming, there's that impact too. But, yeah, there's not the player not the streaming viewer control.
No, because that would be a Twitch function.
That would be a YouTube extension for the game. I think it's getting there. But, yeah, somebody.
I got it. Somebody's sending you wrong the thing here. There we go. Barrett, I'm going to send you a timestamp link so you can throw it up.
Yeah, and sorry, bear with it. It was like this... it's a new feature, and it is hard to like wrap your head around a little bit without seeing it.
Barrett, it's in control right now to you. While I'm here and cleaning stuff up, both Nanobiologist and Lord of Pwn write in. They're trying to call me out at something being wrong when in reality I was just talking the future. I'm aware that Death Stranding comes out this year. You had originally said upcoming games, and I went blah, 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 and I was like, well, 2019, Last of Us, and then I threw in Death Stranding afterwards. I'm just saying upcoming games.
Yeah.
But yes, Death Stranding comes out next year. No, it's me, not you. So here, Barrett's throwing it up. Did not bring the timestamp over? Or dial it back just a little. You see.
Yeah, they show it on the right side of the screen that you'll be able to pull their gameplay. That's interesting.
But why? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not even throwing shade at Stadia on this.
No, no.
Like, who the hell cares about that? Like, that's a bad example of use because I have enough stuff on my HUD. We're all sneaking up. I don't need to see what you guys are doing in that moment. I follow you, Greg. He's saying to Phil's point, those are first examples of innovations that will over time mean streaming games have these advantages. I understand we're trying to take brand new tech and figure out how to put it into games we already do. There's going to be games that come out that totally use it in a really amazing functional way. That'll be awesome.
I have to say, now that I'm like fully wrapping my mind around it. So my assumption is because you're all playing on the cloud and you're on Stadia, it becomes easier to simply pull your stream, and I wonder, not much delay apparently, and you can just pull it up. Why? We're all playing on the same server though without Stadia. Why isn't that a feature anyway? What's the difference?
Because no one really wants it, probably.
yeah, like meaning what would stop you?
Because when have I ever really been playing a game and like... I guess there's latency there. That'd be the one thing.
I'm trying to figure out the technical reason why this just hasn't been done before. I guess the difference is, again, you're all in the cloud. It's encoding a bunch of video frames anyway. And you're just saying, give me Greg's stream. Give me blah, blah, blah. Give me whatever. Mm. Even if you're not streaming, you are effectively streaming to your own TV.
Give me the stream of the game.
And it's just saying, copy those frames over to me. Whereas if I'm playing the game with you now today on PlayStation 4 Pro and like I don't have any of these features... then apparently I can't route myself to your PlayStation. That's the difference. I take it. Or the server we're playing on.
I can't route my PlayStation to you if I'm sending you.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Vice versa. And that becomes the difference technically. So that's interesting. I wanted to like spell it out because it's
stuff that I don't think... this doesn't excite me. Like, you know what I mean? This is one example. But when he's talking about an innovation that we want to bring to bear is games that are as much fun to watch as they are to play... that's a big thing with streaming and Twitching and all that jazz. And I think even for us to sit here and be like, oh, the Borderlands function, or I forget what the one game was where you could spawn monsters, the Twitch chat could spawn monsters and stuff. That's all neat stuff. And I think we're trying to take this stuff, this new thing, Stadia, this new technology, and put it into examples we already know.
Yeah.
I'll be excited about is stuff that I have no idea what the hell they're talking about.
Yeah, but I will say, and ask the question, if I have the chance to Ubisoft, like, why can't you just do it for the streamer? I mean, I guess YouTube has to build it. That's probably the problem. It's probably on YouTube. But in other words, you're one step away from doing what I was talking about, which is I'm watching you stream, and I'm like, oh, I just want to see Kevin and France gameplay. Boop, boop, pop them up. Because what's the difference to the audience? But anyway, it'd be cool to see it move that way. I know there's a few more steps and things involved in that, but I do see all the above. My example with Last of Us, and like I do think streaming has the potential to go there. That's why I wanted to put this story out, is that... imagine you could participate in a game with Greg Miller in some somewhat meaningful way, and you don't even own the game, and that might bring you one step closer to being part of that community. And so I do think there's a lot of potential here.
Borzen and Kate are coming in to say the reason that has not been done before, Fran, is that when you're playing on a console, all the rendering is done on the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, etc. But Stadia is rendering it on a server and just delivering you the video output. That's not what as I much, said. Not as much overhead. Yeah, these probably would. Fran, the reason
there's delay.
The reason you can't see someone else's screen right now is because the different images are being rendered on two different systems.
Yeah, not in the cloud or the yeah, exactly. But it has to send it over to your screen. So it's interesting. That's why I walked through it, because it gets us all thinking about the potential. If I have access to your, it's interesting. I'm just seeing your screen. That's the really funny part about it, as we just described. It's not like I have access to your game and I can see what's in your menu. You have to pull that up, seemingly.
Yeah.
Seemingly.
Yeah,
so it's literally just like, I can watch you play the game if I want and see your angle. But actually, for a game like that, Greg, I will say it's cool. And actually, imagine if you died and you're just like, your cam's bad now because the in-game camera's not great. And I'm just like, let me just watch Greg. There's some interesting opportunities.
That already exists for sure.
It
when
does.
When you're down, you can switch over and see other people's cams.
Yeah, but like it's, for example, in Division, is it still like that black and white mode and it's like not great? And like, I would love the option to like, watch everybody at once. And so there's like, it's
we're
not a big deal.
We're thinking too small. I don't know what Stadia can do, but it can do more than this.
Exactly.
Sure.
Fran, I'm excited to see what Stadia will have up its sleeve when it finally comes out, but that's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like say, what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
The official list of up and coming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Show, Games Daily host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today! Super Mario Maker 2 on Switch is finally here.
That's the big drop.
Downloading it right now at my desk. Very excited about it, to jump into it. But again, I won't have time. Moonlighter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And here's where we get into what you're talking about, Frank.
Build Moonlighter in the game.
Here's where we get in. If you don't know what Moonlighter yet, everybody, listen to Gamescast. It's out right now. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames.
Greg sold me on it.
It'll be out on Monday everywhere else. So this is, I think, gets into your argument, right? Greg Miller currently wants to play Moonlighter, right?
Yeah.
This weekend. Now there's Super Mario Maker 2. Greg Miller wants to play that. Greg Miller wants to play... hold on. I got too far ahead of myself. But this is part of it. Sony Ben today, out today, announces our first Days Gone weekly challenge has dropped. Surrounded has you versus a never-ending horde of freakers. The more freakers you take out, the more time you earn. Unlock new characters, patches, and rings. Then they also put out a whole bunch of different patch notes. The most exciting one for people who've played Days Gone is picking up and swapping weapons on the ground has been changed to the triangle button. So you're no longer trying to loot things and then also picking up the gun. Like, fuck no.
Was it square before or something?
It's been a while since I played, but it was all in one button. It was very, it was like shit. You had to
orient
yourself very specifically to get
the
item, not the gun, because you liked your gun.
Yep.
I've said it before, and I think you and I talked about it last Games Daily you were on, of like, it's not that I want to give... I think the Days Gone support that's been happening, again, because my problems with Days Gone weren't even about like performance issues, which I know they've been working on. It was more about like, these systems don't feel rewarding. I don't know about that. Before I'd gotten my teeth sunk into Dandy Dungeon and now Moonlighter and now Mario and a million other things, I had been wondering about going back to Days Gone, and them finally starting to roll out these weekly challenges they've been talking about excite me. Because if you remember from that trailer in the beginning of June, they talked about these patches. What they are is you earn them in the challenges and then they get applied to your vest and they get applied to the game. So it is you get one bonus healing item, you get extra focus. Like, depending on the challenge and what the patch does, you can put it on there and then actually use it in your gameplay about it, which I think is really cool. And I think the rings have some gameplay benefit to it as well. So again,
wait, are the rings like you go through them with the motorcycle, or
no,
are these different
rings
for your
Deacon.
Hand?
Yeah,
those
that
makes sense, because there's also the rings. There's ring challenges like in Star Fox. You can drive your motorcycle through these. Like, it's maybe
I think
different
it's 12
of
weeks of challenges. Kindoffunny.com/ you're on.
Yep, and there's leaderboards. That's really cool. So
yeah,
I think
it's cool to see them supporting the game again. Like, I know it didn't click for me in terms of an overall thing, but I love that studio, and I'm glad to see that they have found an audience for it.
Yep. Yeah, I didn't finish it. I think I'm about 50% through. I like to do that with a lot of games. But I will say there's something about it, Greg, that I'm like, I kind of want to go back and play it for a while.
Yeah.
There's something about the world, and they're on something there. I think the sales show that as well, that people want to play in a world like this.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to have these weekly challenges. What I wanted to know, and I don't think we have the answer, if you know, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong, help us out on this one. Can I just hop in and play this if I'm only 50% through the game? Or is this for end gamers only?
I think you can, because there's challenges.
I assume so.
Kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. I know that answer's
out there. You
know
what I mean?
I was like,
do you go with your loadout? And if so, how's that fair? You see what I'm saying? Like,
sure,
is it an endgame loadout?
I see what you're saying. Interesting.
I assume it's out right now, so somebody install it. You have time and tell us if
I'm sure they can just look at whatever blog post went up about it.
So. Yeah.
F1 2019 is on PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. Redwall launches on Xbox One today. Monster Hunter World Iceborne Beta is now available for all PlayStation 4 players beginning today and runs through the weekend. Gwent's second expansion pack is now, or second expansion period is now available. Xbox Game Pass announced some additions today. Xbox Game Pass indies on Xbox One and PC include My Time at Portia, Bad North, Gonor, The Banner Saga 3, Yoku's Island Express, Worms, WMD, and then Xbox Game Pass indies for PC only are Undertale, Time Spinner, Unavowed, Machinarium, and For the King. I believe those are out now. It was a I'd seen an article about it on some site, and then it was referencing the Xbox Live ID at Xbox video that I could not find anywhere on the internet. So I don't know the exact thing. Could be a kindoffunny.com/wrong situation.
Greg, really either way, quick.
Barrett's got something to say.
Is it not My Time at Portia? Am I just reading that wrong?
I always thought it was Portia as well.
It was Portia.
I mean, I'm the one who thought Namor was pronounced Namor, so yeah. I don't fucking know.
Well, I mean, but it's not on you. Video games, what dumb names. You know what I mean? Yeah. Don't make dumb names for
Undertale. Really good gameplay.
Nah, it's overrated. Undertale, by the way.
You got to play it like 7 times and you see how brilliant it is. Shut up, Jared Petty.
It's just
twice.
It's just 2 times and it's a 5-hour game, maybe.
It might be Portia. You might be right.
Well, look it up then. You know what I mean?
There's a lot. I was looking up like Portia and Portia, and there's like something to do with it. Portia is the protagonist from William Shakespeare's The Merchant of Venice. And there was some other stuff in here about it. So you never know what the inspiration's from. And frankly, sometimes you find the people who make the game, like, they didn't go that far. They just, they call point.
Nanobiologist in You're Wrong says, per the blog post for Days Gone, Surrounded is the first DLC challenge drop. It's you versus an endless horde of freakers. Survive the horde as long as possible by utilizing your weapons, traps, and the environment. And then back to Nanobiologist. So it sounds like it's your current gear.
I mean, how do you know you don't just give me that at the beginning of the mode?
I mean, it says your weapons. I mean, I'm just, it's a,
still kind of a half answer.
I
good effort. I have a question about the Game Pass stuff, Greg. How familiar are you with the list? Is there anything you recommend to folks to play out of that list?
Oh, off the thing at the beginning.
Yeah, if I'm
read?
Like, you know what, I do want to play something out of here. Do you know the list well enough to say definitely check this out, or is it too, you haven't gotten to this stuff?
Undertale, I know people love. It was never my jam. Barrett's thrown up his fingers. My Time at Portia, I know Britt Brombrocker loved. I remember Jen tried to play it on Switch, and the low times were garbagey.
Yoku's Island Express, I know a lot of people
Everybody loves that, right?
Oh, really?
If you've never played a Banner Saga, I know people love Banner Saga. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know if this is a great place to start, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Me neither.
A lot of good options, though. Okay. New dates.
And then new dates for you. EA has announced the specific date that EA Access will release on PlayStation 4. It's going to be July 24th. EA Access comes to the PlayStation 4 TM.
Add another subscription to your basically.
Why not? Yeah. You know what I mean? Let's all pay $300 in subscription fees for all this stuff for streaming.
Exactly.
Cut the cord. Deals of the day for you. If you go to Amazon Prime right now in the U.S., you can get $18 off Final Fantasy VII Remake. I screwed up. If you go to Amazon and you are an Amazon Prime member, you can get $18 off Final Fantasy VII Remake. Also, if you're an Amazon Prime member, that means you're a Twitch Prime
member.
Have
you ever heard of Twitch Prime?
You get a giveaway one free subscription each and every month, 30 days. It doesn't auto-renew. Give it to Kind of Funny Games. Give it to FM3_.
Or
do
Gary
not give
Whitta.
It to Gary. Do not give it
no,
to Gary.
No, don't give it to Gary.
He's not even, or did he get partnered?
Greg, you know how this audience works. The person you tell them not to give it to, they will give
but
it.
But I forget if he got
don't
partnered.
Don't give it to me. Give it to Gary. What?
What about Andy, you know?
Oh,
take it away from
Andy.
Yeah,
take it away from Andy for sure.
What? Why are you guys so mean? I like Andy.
Oh, no. He's not in the room. Person?
Oh, okay.
If you're not in the room, we talk to him. We're calling Gary Whitta.
Yeah. Okay.
Twitch.tv/Gary Whitta.
God, I hate him!
I hate him so
God, much. I hate him! Gary, you're on Kind of Funny Games Daily. Did you get partnered?
No, but I'm very, very close.
All right, well, we don't talk to non-partnered losers. Sorry. Jeez, you know what I mean? I'm not letting any Twitch streamer in here just say, yak it up. Give me the Prime sub on Kind of Funny Games. Give it to Fran. Don't give it to Andy. Don't even unsubscribe from Gary Whitta. He wore that shirt. He was all proud of himself. And then he's like, oh, I've got so many followers now, mate. And I was like, all right.
Yeah, mate.
Enough of this. I don't need another
he's
competitor.
He's going to get so many subs now. That's awesome, though.
Everybody's awesome. Everything's great. The other thing, though, back into this. So we're already kind of talking about this. Stick with me, right? I love Moonlighter. I want to play Super Mario Maker. I want to tinker with this Days Gone. See if if it's any better or anything like that. Then, on top of it, this weekend, Firewall Zero Hour. I'm reading from the PlayStation blog. There's never been a better time to try Firewall Zero Hour on PlayStation VR, which is why it's also the perfect time for another free weekend trial. Coming June 28th through the 30th for all active PlayStation Plus members. Have a friend with a PSVR who's never tried the game? Well, now they can hop on with you and you can show them the ropes. Here's where it gets interesting for Greg Miller and Kevin Coelho. For all the veterans, we're also stacking a double XP weekend on top of the trial. That's right, this weekend, all Firewall Zero Hour players will earn double XP the same weekend during the free trial, June 28th through the 30th. Hope to see you online.
I've played Firewall. I love Firewall. 2 E3s ago, maybe. Yeah. And it was pretty cool. That's like the more Rainbow Six-y.
Yep.
It's a trip, man.
Yeah, it's VR Rainbow Six.
Yeah.
You know where this is tragic? Kevin Coelho, not in town this weekend.
Yes. That is a heartbreaker for Kevin, but not for Greg.
There you go.
It also could benefit Barrett Courtney if he went to Kevin's house and got the PlayStation VR.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It does sound like a lot of work.
It's really not that much work.
I'll just make myself play Skyward Sword more.
What do you get for double XP? Like, what's it for?
Oh, so in the game, you earn experience points. Mm-hmm. And this weekend, you'll get twice as many as you normally would.
Great. I love having double of something that I just look at it. I got so much experience.
As you level up, you earn, like, oh, now you can start with this kind of shotgun or get this kind of thing. Or do you know, it's a normal thing you'd expect from a shooter.
I should have assumed so. It was a stupid question.
Firewall Zero Hour, of course, is going to be a PlayStation VR show Season 2 episode at some point in our run right now. So if you want to get on it, try it this weekend. You can have commentary when it comes around.
My advice to you, Greg, with so much on your plate is hop into Days Gone first because it sounds...
No, why?
What are you going to do first? Because here's why I ask you.
Sure.
You're going to get carried away in something and you're going to regret it.
Sure. I think my plan, honestly, is just to keep playing Moonlighter.
You already know what you're going to do. You want to do all this, but you've already succumbed to the fact.
Inevitably going to happen is I'm going to keep playing a shit ton of Moonlighter because Moonlighter does it perfectly. Of guess what, Fran? I'm only 20,000 gold away from expanding my shop. And I'm like, that's just a couple of dungeon runs. I can make that happen pretty quick. You know what I mean? And so then it's like, I'm going to do that. And then when I do burn out, I'll hop over to Mario, play some levels there, and then come back in.
So
it's
going to
be a Switch weekend.
I'm begging you, just pop into Days Gone because it could be 20 minutes.
Then the other problem is I'm working on this Division 2 Platinum and I need to get that. I need those ducks in a row. Save it because if you're going to ask Division questions about let's get there because we have to require reading Division. Time for reader mail. But first, I'm going to tell you about our sponsors. First up, it's Third Love. Let's get you a better bra, people. Jen, Gia, and the rest of the Kinda Honeys love their Third Love bras, and you will too. Third Love uses data points generated by millions of women who have taken their Fit Finder quiz to design bras with breast size and shape in mind for a perfect fit and premium feel. Third Love offers more than 70 sizes, including their signature half cup sizes. You can skip the trip and find your fit with Third Love's online Fit Finder. Order and try on at home. No more awkward, fitting room experiences. Every customer has 60 days to wear it, wash it, and put it to the test. And if you don't love it, return it, and Third Love will wash it and donate it to a woman in need. Third Love's team of expert fit stylists are dedicated to helping you find your perfect fit. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll own with straps that won't slip and tagless labels so there's no itching. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today. Up next, Experian. You know the better your credit score, the easier it is to get the stuff you want or the less you have to pay. So the question is, why is it so hard to raise your score? Now it won't be, thanks to Experian. They've launched Experian Boost, a brand new way to instantly increase your credit score for free. For the first time ever, paying your utilities and cell phone can instantly improve your credit score. Experian Boost works by giving you credit for the bills you are already paying through your bank account, like gas, water, electric, cable, and cell phone. A higher credit score can help you establish and get access to credit and preferred rates for the things you want and need in real life. Experian is on a mission to help boost America's credit score, which will help millions of people across the country build and get better access to credit. People all across America have already raised their credit scores with Experian Boost, and you should too. It used to take months to raise your credit score a point or two, but now it's easy. Up until now, you've had to do it. You've been paying your utility cell phone bills and getting nothing for it. Now you can. Of course, you guys know because I've talked about it all week. I had that credit card. I closed it out, I thought, and then guess what? I was getting dinged on it. My credit was all screwed up, and then it took me forever to rebuild it. It sucked. This would have helped. We can't believe it's taken this long for somebody to do this. What are you waiting for? Experian Boost can potentially help you establish and increase your access to credit. Boost your FICO score instantly for free. Boost is only available at Experian.com/KF Games. That's Experian.com/KF Games. 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 Oh, Fran, where do I want to start with you? I'm going to actually do David Scott first, if you're looking at anything. David Scott writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, yesterday, Greg and Andrea spoke about internet data caps. And as a result, it came up that not everywhere has a decent internet connection to run something like Stadia. Well, a few weeks ago, I looked up the average internet speeds in the world, and the average consumer internet speed, according to Ookla, speedtest.net, is a little under 60 megabits per second. Google and Stadia said they would require 25 megabits for 1080p and 35 megabits for 4K. My question is, why do you think that people are so negative about internet speeds, and why do people think that the average consumer doesn't have the right amount of speed? I personally have had 300 megabits per second in my house for the past 3 years, and I've never had less than 100 megabits available where I have lived.
Okay. So this question is not about data cap, just the speeds. Well, that was the segue, but it confused me at first because I was like, speed has nothing to do with
it. We're coming in about Stadia, period, right? Because I want to talk about this. There was a question earlier in the week that didn't make the cut. It made it to the page, but never made it to the show, about why people are so fast to shit all over Stadia and streaming and stuff
Yeah.
But starting here, Barrett, what did you scream out?
Outliers.
What do you mean by that?
When you have an average, like, that doesn't, I don't think, fully represent of what like middle America has for internet speeds and all that stuff.
The other telling thing, and I didn't do the research, I'm just going off David's question, right? Yep. Average internet speed in the world.
Yes.
There's plenty of places, I mean, like in the world that are like, we get amazing download speed all the time.
Yeah, honestly, I would equate it to living in San Francisco. You could say, by the way, the average rent in the world is whatever, $500 a month for a 2-bedroom in the entire world. And I'd be like, doesn't affect me. Like, it's way different. So meaning it is very different. The averages just smooth everything out. That being said, that's an interesting number that a lot of people in general have access to the speed. But like, again, you have people with crazy fiber lines and everything that boost these numbers. I actually think that between LTE and incoming 5G and like where we're going, like I think speeds for many, because we're already gaming today on connections that are reasonable, that it'll be okay. But there's also upload speeds, which is not being talked about here.
Yeah.
Very commonly in like multiplayer games and stuff, you might need like a megabit per second up, and you'd be surprised at how many people have trouble consistently getting it. And there's just a lot of factors that go into this that it's definitely still a concern.
Yeah. I think the reason, you know, people are so hung up on the speed, and then to bring in the question from earlier in the week, just to shit on it, is because everyone has had problems with their internet.
Yeah, it's like that's every day.
Kind of funny, knock on wood, we've been on a good run here, but you remember back at the old place and then early days in this studio when it was just garbage all the time.
I don't know.
There's always something.
Kevin set me up on Discord here that one night and I was using Wi-Fi, and like, I'm not crapping on Kind of Funny here, by the way, but as an example,
you're welcome to.
The Wi-Fi was so bad, I could not make like a FaceTime call or a Discord call. Who knows? It could have been some other problem.
Yeah.
I don't think so. With Wi-Fi, as the example, if you're not hardwired, Wi-Fi becomes problems. I mean, definitely people are going to run into issues here.
Yeah.
I keep wondering, and they've put the number out. I should memorize it at this point. Like, what happens when you dip below that 25? So you're going to go down.
Phil Harrison pops up, and he's like, nah.
Yeah, I think you go to 720p is the number, and I forget what the speed is. But like,
I get your little logo.
That's the nice part, since it's just an encoded video. So there is a solution for it. But again, at some point, we've talked about it a lot, you're going to run out of speed. So again, what I'm getting at here is the cool part is, I'm playing at 35 megabits per second, but my connection dropped to, what is it?
Sorry.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, my connection dropped to like 10 megabits a second. I'm still going to get 720p. It's funny that
again,
it actually says 5 megabits.
Theoretically.
It's theoretic.
With all due respect, again, I will believe it when I'm holding the controller in this room, running off fractured Wi-Fi, and what does it actually look like, and how is it actually running? Is this really 720p, or is it blocky-ass shit fuzzballs?
And again, what does it look like? I encourage you all to check out Kind of Funny Gamescast this week. It'll go up on Monday. If you don't have Patreon access, it's already up.
But you might as well.
We went into depth on Stadia, and that's my biggest concern, is you can talk 720p all you want. I'm a video guy. Guess what? Encoding video? It's all over the place. That's why we look to places like video, Digital Foundry, even of like differences between how processors handle stuff, let alone encoded video that you're watching, which is like a YouTube video at 720p that was encoded. And so like right there on the chart, right, it says 5 to 10, right?
Yeah.
There's a very big difference.
The recommended minimum is 10 megabits per second.
When you're encoding video though, right? Very big difference between 5 and 10 megabits a second. So anyway, to your point, how does it look?
I just want this damn thing in my hand, man.
Yeah,
get it to me.
Resolution's
easy. November, come on.
But I'm still excited about Stadia. As much as I'm Mr. Skeptic when it comes to the way it looks, and I've seen the way it looks, and I have some concerns with like the compression, the fact that we played it at E3 and it works was interesting. But check out Gamescast for the full discussion.
Available now at patreon.com/confidentgames.
That's right. Support us.
2038, Pokemon CEO writes in and says, it's the year 2031. Tim's 42, Greg's 48, I'm 35. Do you see yourselves hosting the equivalent of Games Daily / being influencers? I'm not calling you old, but are you nervous, slang, trends, etc., maybe too much, and you want something new? Is there another industry you would work in given the chance?
I want you to go first, though.
Sure, of course. Yeah. Well, yeah, very you're 65.
Okay, we're like 2 years apart. I think I'll be 50 or something. Or yeah.
That'd be 2 years apart, yeah.
How old are you? 37, 36?
36, yeah.
See, I don't do age either, Greg. As old as you feel, man.
I can rent the car.
I'll be 36 in that year.
God. Isn't that ridiculous how young he is? Do you ever think about how young Barrett is? He's 24 Sometimes. Years old.
Yeah. He's over there like, it's not, he's not dabbing, dabbing.
He's dabbing
it's
it
not
up.
Dabbing. I don't know what it
him
is.
Him and Roger Borconi are using slang around here.
Liddy, man.
Liddy, that's not even a real fucking thing.
It is, dude. It's Liddy.
I mean, I will not leave the industry, no. I don't see a way I would ever leave video games in any way. I mean, that's being short-sighted, of course. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't see my career that's ever taking your, me outside of games. I would also hope, and knock on wood, that I'm still at Kind of Funny. Yeah. The idea would be, and what's been refreshing about Kind of Funny, is that the audience grows with us. Like, mm-hmm. I think you do see so many YouTube channels or podcasters that are targeting an audience that, and I guess that's not even fair, but I know you see a lot of young influencer YouTuber types now that do prank videos or vines or whatever the fuck the kids do. TikToks.
Fine. Scaring I'm Joey on Instagram.
And that's something I think that you see people age out of. You see people that are, I'll talk to, you know, little cousins that are like, you still watch that YouTube person? Like, oh no, we moved on. It's like, they age out of that demographic, that audience. Whereas I feel a Kind of Funny audience ages with us. And that's the thing where I do feel that, now stick with me, I'm going to, on my trend as, you know, I continue to get older, when we start having kids around here, when all this different stuff's happening, I think the audience will be having that already, will be doing that with us, or will have already been there, and will want content based on us getting older and playing games and being an old person playing games. Now, that said, the plan for me personally, and Kind of Funny, is to continue to hire young people like Barrett, bring in younger personalities like X, Y, and Z, that when we come in, they start their own shows, they start taking over the shows we were doing and push off. I don't think you'll see me on as much stuff in 2031 as you see me on now, but that's the hope.
But I don't know, unless you're retired, what are you doing then? You know,
well, I'm so doing stuff, but I'm like, I can still be doing the stuff I do. Like all the emails I'm ignoring for the past 48 hours because I'm too busy making content,
right.
I'm answering those. I'm getting codes. Stuff. I'm making plans. I'm sending people places. I'm doing this. And then I have... similar to like Cup of Jones with these Yowies or something, there's a thing I do, and then there's still the Kind of Funny podcast I lead, and then I guess
of course
a Gamescast here or there, or a Games Daily.
Yeah, and honestly, you can't stretch yourself too thin your entire life, and frankly, like, you know, that's something I think about a lot now that I'm getting back into content more so. Yeah. I'm like, I already ground out, you know, 18 years, 19 years, and, you know, call it the rise to executive life and all that, and like... rise. But anyway, meaning now that I'm coming back to it more so, I think about it a lot, actually, and I'm like, there is this stigma. You can see it in the words that Pokemon CEO is using, you know, the slang and the trends.
Yeah,
and I'm
like,
I'm like, okay, yeah, like what kids say if they're like 16
maybe
streaming a game, yeah, is going to be very different experience than what you get if you come by and watch you and I stream. But like Gary Witt is showing it. Like, it doesn't matter what age you are. It's what the content is, what the people want. Inevitably, if you're a good performer, et cetera. And frankly, you know, I think that is what we're seeing a lot of on Twitch now, is becoming very diverse. And there was this stigma that it was just like MLG esports players who are 22. And like once they're like 28, they're too old for the game. And like that's a thing too, man. If you're an esports streamer, you go through this too, or just an esports player, like you age out. You literally
what was that? There
do
was
age
that,
out.
What was that one really good Call of Duty player? Fwiz. Remember, he was great, and then he just burned out, left the industry. Just dead. Nobody knows what
Fwiz,
happened to him.
Many of you know, like, head of YouTube gaming and stuff like that. Awesome. We love him. I thought you were going to say Shroud or something, who's CSGO and all that.
No, Shroud is doing just fine for himself.
And by the way, Shroud is one of those players that has not aged out. He's such an incredible player. He will say, by the way, he's like, I'm trash, and I'm like... he's just like some kind of robotic, like, god gamer.
Good dude.
But anyway, my short answer on this is... why wouldn't we be doing stuff like this? It's just how much of it do we want to be doing at that
point? I'll be doing a weekly prostate report. You know what I mean?
Exactly. But also you do, I understand as you get older, you do start to think about, I don't want to be doing this for 12 hours a day. I want to go.
Maybe you do.
Take, yeah, maybe you do. And my again, dad, stigma-wise.
Like, I mean, different thing, but my dad's going to work till the day he dies, right? Yeah. Like that's, he just loves it. That's what he wants to do. Number one crane operator.
Yep. But I was saying, maybe you decide that you want to take up other hobbies. Like, this is also our hobbies, and there's always so much on our plate to play. Sure. But maybe at some point it's like, I'm getting into origami.
And I'm sure we would make a podcast about it.
Or no, finally I'll be in more, like, for example, I love guitar, photography, and I just don't have the time. And like, who knows, maybe at some point you try
what
to...
What the...
Oh my God, Gary Whitta in the house.
I hung up on Gary Whitta and he came here to flick me off. Specifically. Come flick me off on
camera. Do it on
then.
Camera.
Enjoy it.
Right into his face, Gary.
No, you're not even, but you're screwed up. You're not wearing your Twitch shirt, see?
You know,
wearing your sweatpants.
I feel like that's a joke you can only pull off once. What's up, everybody? How you doing?
What are we streaming tonight, Gary?
I haven't. The real reason why I'm here was not to flip you off. That was just a bonus. Andy has got like a some kind of piece of streaming hardware that'll let me plug other things into it, so I can stream, you know, console games and stuff.
Elgato or something.
So that's going to be a new feature added to the stream.
Wow.
We're going to start off with the C64 Mini that you guys got.
Ooh,
freaking awesome.
Enjoyed the show today, guys. Very good.
Is Andy even here yet?
Yeah, I'm back. Don't worry.
What was the mix-up?
They gave a pass to somebody else who just said they were Greg Miller, I think.
So there was a Greg Miller imposter?
Apparently.
I think
we're trying to figure it out. Still.
I've asked. I've put out the call for the Greg Miller. Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll get to the bottom of it.
It's either Cheeks Jr.
Good seeing you, Gary.
Or...
It would be Cheeks.
Or... Jonathan Dornbush.
Jonathan Dornbush, oh. Also acceptable. Yeah.
Can't trust that guy.
We should do a video next year where I try to get everybody else's badges. Hey, I'm Damon Hatfield. I got to go host some stuff.
You dress up like
him. Hey, I'm Lucy James.
You put
can
on
I have
like
a pass?
Neon glasses. What's up,
hey,
everybody?
Hey, everybody, I'm Bill Trinan. What's up, everybody?
Oh, please get Bill Trinan's pass. That would be fantastic.
It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, giving your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, Prison Mike needs help on Harry Potter Wizards Unite. His wizard code is 426134255293. Kind of Funny does not discriminate. Hufflepuff, Slytherin, Muggle, or just plain nerd, let's unite. I'm in the New York City area, and if any of you are in the area, let's be friends. And if any of you aren't in the area, let's be friends anyway. If you want to unite your wizard with Potter of Harry, meet Prison Mike with the code I read
that,
earlier.
That's a really good meta name for that game, too.
What?
Prison Mike?
Yeah, because...
like Prisoner of Azkaban.
Well, it's an office gag where Mike is like pretending he's from prison, and he's like, the worst thing about prison is the Dementors and shit like that.
Oh, that's really?
Very good.
What's the one where... I don't remember. That's a great episode we don't have to recount it right now. Fran, we put down required reading that, yes, over on the Division subreddit, the Division 2 State of Game notes had been posted because they did a State of Game yesterday.
Yeah, you can watch it.
You and
it
I
as
were
well.
Too busy to actually watch it. We like Hamish. We just didn't have time to watch it or anything.
Great.
So we wanted to go over some of the highlights here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So first off, loot in the Division is being changed. The development team has been listening to player feedback regarding loot drops and agree that they are not as satisfying as they should be. The current gear system isn't in a good place and is being worked so that there are satisfying ways to get gear and that the gear itself is satisfying. Making gear acquisition satisfying is the highest priority right now and will be introduced over time, with the first step being the skill rework in episode 1. Stay tuned for more updates. How does that sit with you?
Good. Yeah, like I'm definitely to the point. I get like so much gear drops and stuff, and like I'm looking for like higher perk numbers, but
it's
I'm just not getting drops at this point that I feel like are gonna like power me up in a way that's meaningful. I mean, you will get a better gun here and there, but it's very rare. So whatever they're working needs to be better, and certainly on a power level too. I know they're addressing some of that stuff, but the fact that they just came out and admitted, I think this type of transparency is exactly what this game needs. Show that you understand what the players want, that you're working on it, even if you don't know the exact timing, and like it's a great step forward.
It got cut off here, but they did say that the workbench is now going up to 500 as
well. Like, yeah, that's a perfect example. Like, I never use that for crafting stuff because I'm like, why would I? I want a 500 drop. The last thing I want is a freaking 490 drop of like a holster that... Like, what happens is you'll get a perk that maybe you infuse, but like, anyway, the economy is a bit messed up in that. I never use the bench, so this would be one step forward to improving it.
This is an interesting one for exotics. Heroic bosses drop exotics. The ones that come from crafting quests, like Nemesis, must be first acquired before they will drop from bosses. This is another way to get max gear score exotics.
This one, to me, is huge.
Back to our thing.
Yeah.
Moonlighter, Mario, Days Gone, yeah. Firewall Hour, things I need to play. My 100th platinum needs to be The Division. We've said that. I need to do some chipping. I still haven't gone and gotten an exotic. I need to get an exotic for it. Is the Nemesis easy to get, or should I wait for this heroic boss drop?
I would, so here's what's interesting, and glad you brought it up. You can only, if you read the part here, right, you must acquire the exotic first before it will drop for this one.
From a crafting
exactly.
quest.
Exactly. So I was going to give you these. So Nemesis is a quest-based, when it comes from a quest, right? So yeah, Nemesis is quest-based.
Yeah.
So in other words, you have to go through the quest, and then, in other words, if you want a higher level Nemesis, you want to get it out of this heroic boss drop. So you do have to do the quest for Nemesis, and I would say start working on it. It's in, it's in some of the like main missions and stuff.
I remember vaguely when people were talking about this, like, it's possible you've done a lot of it without knowing it.
Possible, but there's like honestly
very specific shit.
So the way Nemesis works, you actually have to pick up the first step and then the second step and so on. So this one's a little different. So you go to it was the Tidal Basin stronghold, and you pick up like a key card. And like if you didn't do that yet,
probably nothing,
then you're not at step one. So what happens is you gotta initiate step one. So anyway,
do that with me this weekend. Let's get this.
Oh, I would love to, dude. That's a fun one to play. And by the way, I just my note on this was I never play heroic because I'm like, why?
For
like
point?
One more drop in the challenge, there's no point. So to increase exotic drops is a step in the right direction. But even then, there's a lot locked up in these quests that. So the problem I run into, Greg, is I'm like, I'm trying to knock out all my points. For example, they unlock the gunner now.
Yeah.
So you can have like a new classification.
I thought you got that automatically unlocked since you
were... You do, but you got to earn your points to level up your tree.
Ah, yes.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Yeah, yeah, okay,
so I'm like, I just need the points. But if I'm doing that, unless it crosses with a path, which I have to know exactly, right, the quest steps, like I'm just working on knocking those out. So frankly, I'm not getting exotics unless I'm chasing them.
Okay.
So I think... Anyway, some exotics will start dropping. I want to know exactly what's in that pool. But otherwise, I don't know. I almost feel like it is getting to the point. Like, there's just not enough exotics. Maybe they just need to put these exotics in that loot pool. Like, okay. I know that's an easy thing to say because quest exotics are cool and all. But I just don't get enough of those drops and it's not exciting. So,
all right, let's play this weekend.
Yeah.
And then flashlight. There will be a flashlight attachment for pistols. It can be found somewhere.
So, you know what? This was a lot of community feedback.
It's so dark in the game.
Exactly. They're like, it's super dark at points, and they're like, blah, blah. And this would give you a great reason to take your pistol
out.
Which
I never do, unless I'm shooting the gold locks.
Yeah, and so I don't know if the feedback did really come directly from the community. They said, we need a flashlight, and then they just put it on the pistol. So, I think that's really awesome, and it can be found somewhere in the game. So, now we have something to go find as a community.
Fran? I'm excited for more of that Division. I'm excited to play with you this weekend. It's
some.
Time for You're Wrong. That's where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up.
I got one for you right here, Greg.
Go for it.
For housekeeping, we missed this month's Patreon platinum item is the Kind of Funny Persona inspired shirt.
Sure.
By Cliff Ritchie. It's available to all June platinum patrons. And make sure to submit your...
So these are like the final days.
Yeah, these are your final days. Joey put up a,
post with t-shirts sizes
to
stuff,
submit
right?
your shirt size and all that good stuff. So if you really want that Persona Kind of Funny shirt, make sure to get on that. On
Perfect.
Kind of Funny or patreon.com/kindoffunny.
I need to tell everyone, if they need stuff in the shows, don't Slack me. Because she Slacked us last night, and that didn't help me for today's show.
Yeah.
I need just emails I can leave blank, because I'm bad at my job. You guys are bad. That's a me. I'm bad at my thing. Sped Style wrote into You're Wrong and said, you can actually re-download PT on PS4. It's a little bit of extra effort, but you can go to geek.com and figure out a way to do it. So you can Google if you missed it and you had it, and the thing happened now. People, there's two different people in here. One of them, Nanobiologist, says it is my time at Portia. And then Portia says, you're wrong, it's Portia. So as usual, none of you fucking dorks can decide how to make up your fake name, so it's Portia. Everybody deal with it.
Wait, it is Portia officially, though, is what you're saying.
No, I just said the two people in there argue different words, saying that we both were saying you're wrong, so it doesn't make any sense. And everybody's silly, and I don't like it one bit.
Yeah, see, that's not a factual you're wrong. It doesn't help us.
Well, I mean, yeah, when they go against each other, you know? Yep. Everyone's was just arguing about internet speeds.
Yep.
Not very helpful at all.
Yep.
And then Lanky Dragon says, Greg said he needs to loot an exotic for a trophy in Division 2. He needs to craft an exotic from the workbench. That's what you get the pieces of Nemesis and then you assemble them, right? Or no.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember when I got all the
pieces.
I'll look
into it. I'll worry about it later.
If you actually put them to... Yeah, you do in that case. You get the blueprint and you craft it.
Okay. That's what I need to do.
So that would... Yeah, do Nemesis. It's like easy. Except a stronghold has to come up for you, and that is a rotation, which might screw you for a few weeks. We'll see if it's up.
Well, I should get cracking on it because that's my thing.
You should.
Trying to get the damn...
100%.
Ladies and gentlemen! This has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get an excellent Kinda Funny Games cast right now. Then we put it up on Twitch live. We put it up on YouTube later. Put it up on Rooster Teeth later. Put it up on podcast services later. Let's run through next week's hosting schedule. Monday, it's me and Tim. Tuesday, it's me and Andrea. Wednesday, it's me and Gary Witta. Thursday, no show. It's the 4th of July here in the United States. And Friday, no show. We're at RTX. We're going to eat and drink.
Yeah.
And I will be eating and drinking at Guardian Con. So if you're in Orlando, Florida on July 5th or 6th,
I can't
believe
there's a con for Guardians of the Galaxy. That's really cool that you're into that.
No, I think it's for the Guardians of RTX to learn to be
better.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, that makes a little more sense.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We'll have to send pics to each other and see who's having more fun.
I won't lie. Right now, yeah. I would love to go to Guardian Con, hang out with Peter Dinklage, my favorite Destiny character. I'm pretty stoked about it.
All right, got him. Actually, I've always wanted to go.
Fran Fridays tonight, twitch.tv/FM3_. Gary Widow will also be doing something.
About 6 p.m. Pacific time. Tune in. I'm going to play something. Mario Maker, Moonlighter. Yeah. Moonlighter.
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 Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been a pleasure to serve you.